Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, and Quality Nails. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Thank you, Zach Dresch. You do that intro marvelously well. Welcome, everybody. I'm Dave Holly. This is the Dave Holly Hour because we couldn't think of anything else to call it. But what we do is we talk to the creatives. Yes, we talk to people that are involved in entertainment and the arts. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to hear from James Dean Acoustic, great guitar player. We'll talk to him about his style of music, where he's been playing, what has all led up to his ability to do so. And later, we'll be speaking with Tyler Childress. He is the owner of Laurel Ridge Barn. They are primarily a wedding venue, but they're starting to branch out, do some other events and so forth. So we'll be finding out how you might get involved being out there, or maybe how I might get involved being out there. You never know. Okay, are you ready for it, though? Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner. It's here.
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty. We can't wait for Friday. So a day early, we start the party. Oh, I have a feeling it's going to be a very long party. Happy Independence Day weekend. Wow. God bless America. I know we complain a lot about how things go sometimes, but we are very, very fortunate to live where we do. And so this toast is to the good old U.S. of A. Ooh. Bet there's going to be a lot of beer toast for that one, too. The Weekend Eve Toast has been brought to you by Ale Hop Brewery Tours, a great way to hop from microbrew to microbrew in Sioux Falls. Book a private tour for 4, 5, or 6 hours. You're in charge of the 8 local breweries you could go to, but leave the driving to Ale Hop. Plus, the van looks pretty groovy. Todd M. says, it was a great way to spend the evening with my friends. He agrees the van is really cool, and it's nice to face each other while sitting in it. Book your private tour on alehopbrewerytours.com. Tuesday through Thursday tours start at 3 p.m., Fridays at 5, Saturday and Sunday tours as early as noon. If you don't mind sharing a ride, hop on one of the public tours. For more info, call 605-777-2183. That's 605-777-2183. Ale Hop Brewery Tours, where micro fans meet micro brews. Book a tour in July on alehopbreweretours.com and save 10%. Use the promo code 10JULY. By the way, I mentioned that we're going to be speaking with James Dean. He's going to be coming up on the show. James Dean Acoustic plays around Sioux Falls quite often. We are fortunate he has some original music that he has the copyrights to. So, yes, stick around at the end of the show then. We'll play one of James Dean Acoustic's original tunes. And we didn't get a chance to mention this when we had our chat earlier in the week, but he's going to be live at the Levitt Friday, July 9th, 6 p.m. So James Dean Acoustic live at the Levitt Friday, July 9th at 6 p.m. Now, one more thing we need to take care of. Oh, this is a fun one. You never know how kids are going to react around magicians. And, you know, because magicians quite often, especially when it's a family show, like Big D Entertainment produced last Thursday down in Lenox, Travis Nye, first of all, thank you, Travis, stepped in at kind of a last-minute situation, or last, you know, week situation, and was able to fill in for someone that wasn't able to make it. So, Travis, thank you. But also, Travis did such a great job with little five-year-old Jameson, you know, and basically told him that he was the magician and so forth. Well, the kicker is that the next morning then, apparently Jameson couldn't wait to get to daycare so he could say that he was the best magician. I won't speak for Travis, but speaking as a fellow entertainer, boy, when you get something like that, that's just gold for your heart. Okay? So what are we going to do the rest of the way now? We're going to speak to the creatives. We're going to speak to the venue owners. As later on in the show, Tyler Childress from Laurel Ridge Barn. And then coming up next, James Dean Acoustic. On the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
With him, every day is a holiday. Once again, here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, everyone. So happy that you're listening, no matter what form you do so with, whatever platform it is, or whether you stream or whether you like to download. Appreciate it all. Also appreciate the likes that you have and the shares on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, everything you do on social media. It is paying off so well. Thank you. And I don't necessarily mean paying off as in big bucks by any means, but it makes me feel good is what it is. And the fact that we can get the word out about great arts and entertainment in the Sioux Empire. And one of the people that you may find playing along the streets in front of a bar or maybe even in a bar around the Sioux Empire, especially in downtown Sioux Falls, he ends up being here quite often, is James Dean. How are you, James?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming up, because you actually live in Yankton.
I do.
Yeah, and so you drive up here quite often to perform.
Yep.
Where else do you perform besides here in Yankton and so forth? All points between?
Well, I've got a couple places I play down in Norfolk.
Okay.
I play down in Sioux City once in a great while, but mostly in Yankton and Sioux Falls.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, great to have you here. You've been on my radar for a long time. But never had the chance to hear you until just a few weeks back. And in fact, we're recording here at Woodgrain Brewery, and that's where you were playing a couple of weeks back, and I finally had the opportunity to hear you, and I was just enthralled by your music because it's just such wonderful instrumental that you have, you and your guitar, and it was just so great to just sit back and enjoy it.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a pleasure to be able to share music with you and everybody else down here in downtown Sioux Falls. Woodgrain's been super supportive of me over the last year and having me regularly, so I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to share music with you.
What got you into music?
That's a good question. I think I've just been kind of enthralled by music since I was a youngster, probably about 7, 8 years old. Just listen to all sorts of different stuff as a kid. Had a little cassette recorder, used to record stuff off the radio. King Biscuit Flower, if you're old enough to remember those shows. Used to always be into that stuff when back in the late 70s. Just a love for music. I mean, when I first started playing guitar when I was about 11 years old, I just got a guitar at a flea market in Florida when I was down to visit my grandparents, and just kind of picked stuff out by ear, kind of listening to Sabbath, Zeppelin, stuff like that, that had just kind of plotting riffs to them, kind of picking some stuff out. And that's kind of where it began, I guess.
Really? So
yeah.
For the most part, self-taught?
Yep.
Really? Did you ever take a lesson then?
I have taken a few lessons when I was in high school, but just kind of working on cover tunes, getting some pointers here and there about scales and whatnot, and then I kind of took it on my own.
Well, it's fun to hear that you just decided on your own and to do this. You know, so often when we ask that question, it's a, well, you know, mom and dad were this, or had to take piano lessons, all these other things. But just for somebody to decide to love music on their own, go pick out a guitar at a flea market and then teach yourself how to play, that's remarkable.
I think it's things like we were talking earlier that happen the way they're supposed to happen, and I'm blessed to be able to have music in my life. For sure.
At what point then, you said you started basically at 11 when you picked up that guitar. At what point did you perform for someone then?
My first performance was in Yankton, of all places, believe it or not. I was living in Springfield at the time.
Okay.
Previous to that, I'm an Air Force brat, so I was born in California. Lived in Oslo, Norway for a while as a kid, which was a very cool experience. Could travel around Europe a little bit, and then 75, my dad got stationed in Austin, Texas, so I moved there. We moved there, that's where I started playing guitar, was Austin. Really cool music scene, obviously, back then,
especially in
the 70s, was very cool before it got a little more commercialized like it is now. But my dad retired from the Air Force in 82, and when we moved back to his hometown of Springfield, so that was quite the culture shock going from Austin, Texas to Springfield, South Dakota. So in terms of my guitar playing, that was really good for me, because I was just kind of in the high school kind of weird phase of socialness, so being social with people, and kind of holed up in my room, played a lot of guitar. But eventually I spread out a little bit and got over to Yankton, and I met some other musicians around my age and a little older than me. And through the course of trading licks with people in the music store called Mullet Music in Yankton, met some other musicians, and eventually started a band. And my first gig, I believe, was in 84 at a place called The Hustler on Broadway in Yankton, which is now a Mexican restaurant called Mexico Viejo. But yeah, that was my first gig doing cover tunes.
Excellent. I love that you had that and great experience. And from the places that you had lived, being an Air Force brat and so forth, does that add to your musicality?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think a lot of influences from the European culture, being able to be exposed in a lot of different places in Europe, Norway, Italy, England, seeing some street musicians over there. That and Austin, Texas, obviously. Yeah, Austin, Texas was a big influence as far as the being able to be exposed to a lot of live music that was going on down there at the time and around and anywhere I was.
Yeah. You still playing any bands or just the solo?
I have an acoustic duo called Kings of Oblivion that I play with. We're kind of a cover band.
Mm-hmm.
We do kind of like 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, some new millennium stuff. Just kind of a bar band, kind of pays the bills, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And that is with my fellow musician by the name of Eric Barringer, which he lives in Yankton as well. He does some solo stuff, and we've got Kings of Oblivion that we do together. So that's, but previous to that, all sorts of different projects, electric and otherwise. Used to be in a kind of a rock blues band called Electric Riverside Stomp. We had played up in Sioux Falls here quite a bit back in the mid-90s. So, yeah.
The question I always love asking of musicians of any sort, but especially when it comes to guitars, how many do you have?
I am not your typical gear acquisition syndrome guitar player or musician. I like to keep things streamlined as much as possible. So I have my Gibson J150, which is a poor man's J200. That's my main axe. I also have a 72 Martin D28, which is my second guitar, just in case something happens to my Gibson. And I've got a couple of Les Pauls. I'm a Les Paul guy. So I've got a 82 Les Paul Custom and an 86 Les Paul Standard.
But
that's it.
None of the sold, you know, got a second mortgage.
No.
Type of guitar.
I'm not that type of guitar player.
I like the way you said that the gear acquisition, Because I'm sure my wife would say that I'm kind of that way when it comes to podcast equipment and so forth.
It's easy. Yeah. It's easy to get drawn into that.
That's for sure. Especially when they send the emails every day.
Yeah, yeah. And the flyers. Yeah, good old Sweetwater.
Exactly. That's where this all came from. What did you like about the first time you performed in public? What was the feeling like?
Well, back then, being a kid, being influenced by all sorts of great bands, it was just good to be on stage and sharing music with people, you know, and seeing people's reactions and being able to share all this stuff that I had been holed up in my bedroom working on, you know. I think still to this day, I just think it's the energy that happens when people are get together to either play music or listen to music is a really cool thing. So I'm always looking out to be a part of that.
What were some of your influences, band-wise or specifically then guitarists?
As a kid, before I even started playing, it was Kiss, and I'm dating myself there, but Ace Frehley from Kiss was a big influence on me as a kid.
I take it we're from the same ilk age-wise.
Zeppelin, obviously, if I had to pick one band of all time that was my favorite band, it would be Led Zeppelin. Black Sabbath, Leonard Skinner, early growing up, that was the kind of stuff that I was into playing. Judas Priest, yeah.
All right, so besides Ace Frehley then, specifically guitarists?
As a kid, probably Jimmy Page, the guitar players for Skinner, Tony Iommi from Sabbath, just all that kind of 70s rock stuff, you know, Aerosmith, Nugent, stuff like that.
How broad is your playing at this point? You know, in terms of as what you'll get asked to play or what you know.
Genres
and so forth that you'll enjoy.
I'm really like just an open book when it comes to genres. Outside of like, I'm not doing a lot of country, although I do appreciate old school country. Mm-hmm. We do a few country tunes in the Kings of Oblivion. But as far as the James Dean Acoustic Project, it's a lot of... pretty open book in terms of like some smooth jazz stuff, some gypsy jazz stuff. The cool thing about what I'm doing with the James Dean Acoustic thing is that I'm not really limited to my vocal range. I can do all sorts of instrumental,
right,
creative interpretations of all sorts of different things. So I draw back on a lot of stuff that I've just liked over the years, you know, and tried to say, okay, well, I like this song, why not try to do a version of that? Like Feels So Good by Chuck Mangione, it was a really cool song growing up, so it's like, well, let's take a stab at that. Or mm-hmm. Salt Is a Swing by Dire Straits.
Oh, you know, love that song.
Yeah,
I can remember exactly where I was when I first heard that.
Cool.
Yeah, and that's just one that, you know, that's one of the things I love about music, and I'm guessing you might feel the same, is that music has such a connection to your life. With the memories, and you know, you can quite often remember where you heard a song for the first time. You know, you remember who the first band you saw, all that.
Yep, I agree. I've even got just little snippets of songs that I play, one lick or this, that, or the other will throw me back to, oh, I made a mistake on this part way back when. I remember this gig where I messed that up, and I'll mess it up again. So, but yeah, are people that turn me on to such and such music. You know, it's a great thing to have those memories.
Do you listen to a lot of new music as well?
I really can't say that I do.
Thank you.
A few things come across my radar once in a great while, but a lot of the stuff that I'm doing, and I'm pretty much self-admittedly obsessed with working on stuff all the time. I think things just kind of come to me, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always one to be a proponent of the fact that we're all conduits for something greater than ourselves, and things happen for the reasons that they happen that we might not be aware of. But I always talk about tuning in or being receptive to whatever's trying to come my way. And I think things just happen to come my way in terms of music, in terms of what I might be covering or might be listening to at the time. So, yeah, I just kind of keep myself open to whatever comes my way.
What's been the most recent song that you said, you know, I got to put this in my show?
Well, the most recent song that I'm working up cover-wise is a song called Tempted by Squeeze.
Yes.
Which is one of my old favorites. So that's one of the ones I've been working on recently, my most recent one. somebody. Also, I keep myself open to people requesting songs. If they say, oh, have you heard of this song? Or would you think about doing this such and such? There's a lot of songs on my set list that come from recommendations from other people. One of the most recent recommendations is a song called Red Red Wine by UB40. Mm-hmm. That goes back to the 80s. I just recently worked that one up as well.
Yeah, so. I remember spinning that on 45 at a radio station many years ago. One of the songs that I absolutely love that you played while you were here a few weeks back at Wood Green is Breezin'.
Oh, yeah, such a great
George
song.
George Benson, to me, I love that style of guitar.
Yeah,
and you pulled it off so well.
Yeah. Earl Klug, George Benson, all those
Earl
guys.
Oh, Earl Klug, exactly.
Yeah, I try to kind of incorporate some of those influences into what I'm doing cover-wise with the acoustic project or the looping project. But that's just another one like the Chuck Mangione tune that I loved since I was a kid that I was like, well, that would be great to pull out, you know? So great summertime tune any time of year, really, but summertime especially.
I would love to hear you play that.
Breezin'?
Well, Breezin', I heard you play, but I would love to hear you play Chuck Mangione.
Oh, you didn't catch me do that the other night.
I didn't catch that the other night. No, and I'm disappointed in that you said.
Well,
that
you can get on my YouTube channel.
Here we go. Start the plugs. Go ahead.
James Dean Acoustic YouTube. You can see all sorts of videos from different performances. I try to keep that up to date, so that's on there for you to check out.
Do you have a favorite?
I can't really say I've got a favorite. I like all of them. They all have a special place. They all have, like we were talking earlier, memories and how they became about or how I started doing them. So most of the stuff that I do, I try to keep to where it's something that I've, if it's not something that I'm really, my heart's into, I won't do it. So all the songs have their own little place in my heart, so to speak.
How about one that's the most challenging for you?
The Sultans of Swing is definitely the most recently. The addition to myself is that has been the most challenging. That's a daily rehearsal thing for me. So kind of a warm up when I'm rehearsing is to make sure I throw that in there with the rest of the songs I'm working on.
How much do you rehearse?
I try to get about, well, I shouldn't say I try to get, but on an average about 3 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how many bookings do you have throughout the summer and so forth?
Summers have been great, especially the summer has been great. Things are opening up for me in Sioux Falls, which is great.
After a couple of years of working
my best way, especially last year with the COVID thing. But in the summertime, I average about 3 or 4 gigs a week, which is great. Sometimes more. Sometimes it's just weekends. But weekday gigs have been picking up a little bit, so that's good.
Good.
The 3 hours a day practice, I've got I want to say about 60 or 70 tunes. And when you're doing the live looping thing where you've got the drum parts, the bass parts, the key parts, the guitar parts, and then the solo melody parts, it requires a lot of rehearsal to keep on top of all that stuff. And I don't like to do the same set list every gig, you know, so I like to change things up. And the rehearsal, 3 hour rehearsals, is just part of keeping up on everything I've got going.
When's the last time you didn't have calluses on your fingers?
I can't remember, honestly. Probably since before I started playing guitar.
Right.
Yeah.
That seems to be the war wound that's a rite of passage for everyone when
that's
it comes
all
to that.
Right, you know.
Yeah. But it's well worth
small
it.
Small price to pay.
Right. You know, when you've got a talent and the fact that you share your talent and the fact that, you know, you are able to make a living with your talent, that's a great thing. And it's just so fun. You know, that's the one thing that I think people are unaware of when it comes to local musicians, entertainers of whatever kind, is the amount of prep that goes in.
Absolutely.
And the dedication that you have for it. Did you ever, when you first started that, playing back at 11 years old, think that this would be where you'd be?
I really didn't have any preconceived notion about it, but I'm certainly grateful to be where I'm at. And you're right, it's just so much involved in terms of everything that precedes getting up on sitting on your chair or standing up in front of people and playing a song, you know, whether it be the business side of it or the artistic side of it or the technical aspect of rehearsing, you know, but it's all stuff that I enjoy doing. And I always think about, you know, God bless them, all the people that work in factories, you know, I'm grateful that I'm able to do something that I really enjoy for a living. I'm not making a mint, but I'm making enough to get by, and that's what that's what matters. I think doing something that you enjoy, if at all possible,
makes a happy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And happy also quite often means healthy lifestyle then.
Sure.
Too.
Yeah. Sure.
But let's go back to the types of music you play then. You mentioned the fact that you do covers, you like the soft jazz and so forth, but if somebody hasn't heard you before and they come out to one of your shows, what all are they going to get in the time that you're sitting down?
Well, it depends on what night they come and see me. This can be a little bit of a more upbeat night some nights. I'll try to keep things upbeat, especially when I'm playing more of the... Sometimes I play all sorts of different places. I'll play at like a restaurant kind of a setting, like our wine bar. I play over there once in a while. Where I kind of keep things a little more laid back. But then sometimes when I play out like here on the patio at Wood Grain, I'll keep things a little more upbeat. So it depends on the night as far as what people will encounter when they come and see me. But I have just kind of vibe out on the crowd as far as like what it feels like, whether I need to be more laid back or people are a little more up. I'll bring out some more upbeat stuff. So
read the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, it's nice to be able to have enough material to draw from to do that. I really started doing this live looping project, doing all originals. And through the course of wanting to stay busier, started picking up some of the cover tunes. So right now I'm focusing a lot on the cover tunes, but there's still some originals once in a while that I'll throw in to my sets. So,
what do you like to write for an original? Any particular genre or style?
I was saying earlier, I think it just kind of keeping myself open to whatever comes through the channel, is what inspires me. I've got stuff that is, like I was talking earlier about Gypsy Jazz. I've got a song called Gypsy Jazz that's inspired by Django Reinhardt kind of style of music. I do kind of some more ambient style stuff. Kind of do a little more upbeat kind of blues oriented stuff on some of my originals, some flamenco style stuff, finger style stuff, kind of more Italian kind of slow waltz kind of finger style stuff. I'm pretty much open to different influences and genres in terms of what I write originally too.
All right, so we'll find you at places like Our Wine. We'll find you here at the Wood Grain. Do you get hired as well for private events and weddings, things like that?
I've got some weddings coming up. I do sometimes. I'll do like dinner parties, stuff like that. Just recently did an event for the Yankton Thrive, which is the old Chamber of Commerce, but they're coming together with some different factions of the community organizations in Yankton. So I'm open to doing just about anything, especially with the wide variety of material that I have. I can kind of suit myself to a really cool laid-back background setting or a more upbeat bar kind of setting. So,
do you have a catalog of everything that you do?
I've got the master set list.
And how many's on the master set list?
I want to say probably it's pushing about 80 songs now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice. A good bit that gets you through. Have you ever played longer than a 3-hour gig?
Oh, yeah.
You have.
4-hour gigs. I think I did a 5-hour gig one time. I generally do not take breaks when I play because I like to keep the vibe going. I probably got enough material to do about a 6 or 7 hour gig straight through, I think.
Incredible.
Yeah. And that's kind of the beauty of doing the live looping thing is that it leaves a lot of room for improvisation.
True.
So I love to be able to kind of push myself with that on that level as well.
Now, I've done a lot of improvisation in comedy.
Cool.
Comedy improv. A little bit when I played a valve trombone in jazz band when I was in high school. And it's a unique thing to be able to do. When did you first get into that? And, was it something that you felt like you just have to keep working at to get to it? Or did it come naturally?
I think on some levels it came naturally. I think musicians in general need to learn the basics, in terms of a little bit of theory to know how to getting around with different scales or different modes of the major scale. That really helped when I kind of delved into that information in terms of being able to figure out what key I'm playing in and what works with that particular key. So I think once that a musician, including myself, has that knowledge, that it not that I could learn more, but I certainly have a nice base to work from in terms of knowing what works over certain progressions and what doesn't, and being able to kind of stretch it out a little bit in terms of my improvisation. So,
dream performance, what would it be?
In terms of a venue?
A venue or a particular song that you just really want to let go on? Or
That's a good question. I think one of my dream performances would be to do some street musician stuff over in Europe. I have been lucky enough to do some traveling in Europe with my wife and with some friends. I spent some time in Amsterdam quite a few years in a row, actually. And the street musician scene in Europe is really cool. I love the not only the varied genres of talent, but just the support that seems like the passerbys in Europe. You'll get a nice big crowd gathered around you, and not necessarily about making money, but just sharing music in that type of environment. It's always kind of been a dream of mine to do something like that. Certainly wouldn't hurt to have a dream gig in a nice tropical paradise kind of setting either. So that's kind of been also another dream of mine, is to get out of South Dakota. Is great during the spring and summer times, but the winters can take a toll on me.
That they can.
And I'd love to be able to winter in a warmer spot and do the music thing. That would kind of always been a dream of mine as well.
Excellent. So you were talking about the fact that you were self-taught. But you also have learned, obviously, you know, to think in terms of the keys and so forth, and have some theory behind it all. And then, you know, we're just talking, we've talked a couple of times about it earlier and just now about, you know, Europe and so forth. What do you think is missing right now in live music, in the style that you do?
I'm not sure if it's necessarily missing, but with what I'm doing style-wise and with my live looping stuff, I think there is room for more live looping artists out there. And I don't know if necessarily, I think it's somewhat of a new phenomenon, the live looping thing. I think there's more room for that. I don't necessarily know if I look at things as being missing, because there's so many different genres and styles and people expressing themselves the way they feel they need to express themselves, that I think there's room for all sorts of more stuff, but I don't necessarily know if anything is missing per se in terms of my viewpoint on it.
Sioux Falls especially has grown tremendously in its arts and entertainment community over the past decade, maybe even, you know, two decades now. How about Yankton? How has it done? Has it progressed? And you know, there's more opportunity for people to play, more
Absolutely.
Venues and so forth?
Yeah,
right.
Yankton's, I think we're both Sioux Falls and Yankton and all the surrounding communities, Vermilion as well, over the last 10 years, I would say, maybe 7-8 years. But seems like there's more openness by the community and the people that are kind of in charge of bringing things to the community, or like Chamber of Commerce, those type of entities, that they're really open to being more supportive of the arts in terms of musicians doing more kind of street stuff. In Yankton, we've got Music at the Meridian that's going, which is similar to what you guys have going on at the Levitt here in Sioux Falls, where people, it's free to the community to come down and be a part of. They have bigger name acts that are headlining, and then they're very supportive of local entertainment being the warm-up acts. So that's been great. But yeah, I think a lot of the advent of microbreweries has been really good for the music scene, both here in Sioux Falls, obviously, and in Yankton. We've got some Ben's Brewing Company, which is the main or the most long-standing brewing company in Yankton, but we've also got Backspace Brewing Company that just opened up in Yankton, and both of those places are supportive of live music, which is great. So I think, it's just been a real, I don't know if I'd go as far as saying the term renaissance, but it's been a really supportive last decade in terms of things flourishing and blossoming, not only for music, but other arts as well.
Yeah. A couple of questions I always like to end up with. When you're not entertaining others, what do you like to be entertained by?
Yeah, I figured you might ask that. I haven't listened to some of the other podcasts. to be honest, like I said earlier, I'm pretty much self-obsessed musician. So if I'm not out playing, I'm at home working on something new. And my wife always gives me a hard time that I can't just relax and like kick back and watch a movie or something. But yeah, I think every day is a cherished gift. And I like to use every day in terms of progressing in some one form or fashion or another with expressing myself musically. So that's pretty much, I guess, what I like to do is just work on new tunes, rehearse the tunes that I have, work on networking a little bit, trying to find some new places to play, trying to keep playing the places that I am playing. And yeah, I pretty much enjoy just working on what I'm doing musically. That's my big deal.
Yeah. Any other hobbies then?
Not really.
Okay. You are definitely
like I
absorbed.
Said, I am self-absorbed with my music, so. But I enjoy it. So.
Well, we're glad that you do, and we're glad that other people get the opportunity to enjoy it too, with all the playing that you have here in Sioux Falls and Yankton and so forth. Certainly do appreciate you, James, coming up from Yankton so we could get together and talk face to face. Really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you once again outside or indoors even sometime here in Sioux Falls. And so appreciate your time being on the show.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Dave. Thank you so much. And thanks for everything that you do to support the local arts and entertainment here in Sioux Falls. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Glad you could.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
With a passion for arts and entertainment, here again, Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. Dave Holly Hour is a fun time to learn about not just the artists and the entertainers that provide you such great shows to go to and so forth, but we also talk about everything else associated with it, including places to have big events. And we've got a new one, well, relatively new. Tyler Childress is from the Laurel Ridge Barn, which is I'm going to let him describe how to get there, and then I'm going to tell you my way to get there. All right, so Tyler, tell us about Laurel Ridge. It started, what, May of last year, right?
Correct. We're about a little over 1 year old, and we're excited to be in the Sioux Falls area. So we have a Sioux Falls address, but we're just 1 mile outside, so easiest way to get there. If you're heading north on 229 and you head straight past I-90, 1.5 miles, you hang a right on a great road name called Slip Up Creek Road, and you take another 1.5 miles that way, and a tiny bit of gravel into heaven, I call it.
Okay, a tiny bit of gravel into heaven. That could be used for many things.
Yes.
Would make a great, I won't even go there. But anyway, you say, you know, just past 90. I say to everybody that's ever wondered what that road is at the end of 229, that's the one you take.
That's correct. That's correct. It's 1.5 miles.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, and so I have taken it a couple of times, actually. But I need to get out and see your place. Laurel Ridge Barn.
Yep.
Tell us what it is and what all is going on there.
Yeah, so we purchased land, 30 acres, and we developed 5 of those acres into an event venue. It's 12,500 square feet with a large outside patio, inside bar, outside bar, full liquor license. So we're fully equipped to handle all types of different events. Yes.
Yeah. I don't care anywhere I can't have Jack Daniels.
That's important to all. I get it. Yes. On the other 25 acres, we have horses out in the pasture grazing all year long just for the scenery. A creek separates our property from left to right. Slip Up Creek is the middle. So great scenery, great hills. on the northeast part of Sioux Falls, it actually has hills, unlike everywhere else in the southeast Sioux Falls. Yes.
All right. So how about the name Laurel Ridge? Is there actually a Laurel Ridge then?
Well, so how it came about was the Laurel Idy family, the trust, owned that prior to us. So we wanted to pay homage to the previous owners, Laurel. Mm-hmm. And there's a big ridge line from the hills there. So we put together a masculine and a feminine name together. Laurel Ridge Barn.
And not only did you put together a masculine and feminine name, but boy, did you put together one impressive barn.
Yes.
You have a 40 or 45 foot ceiling?
45 foot tall ceiling, vaulted ceilings. You know, everyone told us that we couldn't build the structure the way we wanted it. They wanted cross members to be able to see the trusses. We wanted to have a clear high span ceiling. So it's very unique in the Sioux Falls area for sure.
Yeah. And besides that, you have all the necessary rooms. I mean, it looks like you guys did your fair amount of homework on this, on to what would make it a success versus just, hey, here's a cool barn that we built. Come out and have a wedding.
Yeah. We first year, 35 weddings. This year, we're 82 different events, 75 weddings and some other type ones too. But yeah, we're excited for corporate people to kind of start getting back in events and performing arts to get back together. So we're excited to have all types of events.
Well, you know, that now that and this is the correct pronunciation, the pandemic is over, you know, hopefully that's going to be the way that everything goes. But you certainly have the facility for them. Tell us more about, let's go inside first.
Yep. Yeah, so there's a large entrance inside with first-class bathrooms, large atrium or hall inside there. We have a full prep kitchen. We work with 5 catering companies that provide the food service for us. Have an inside bar, outside bar. And then the biggest thing that makes us kind of different is our roof structure. It's just high inside, lifted, just a beautiful, and there's windows for days, windows and windows for all the natural lights and let all the beauty in from around. So upstairs, we have a large loft too. And we've got some bridal suites for the bride, for the groom, or for other corporate type ones too. So large area upstairs, much bigger than people most times think how big the loft
is. So how many, let's say it were a corporate event.
Yep.
And they were just going to have a stage up front for a keynote speaker and so forth and hand out their annual awards. How many can you seat?
Yeah, so we say 300 on the main floor. That's for a round table type event. Mm-hmm. If we do more of a standard church type setting or just a rows about 400 type. So it depends on what type of setting. Yep, and then obviously a 250-inch projector screen from the top ceiling. So we are a barn, but we're pretty techy too.
A tech barn.
Yes, a tech barn. Yep.
What made you say, just want to do this?
Yeah, I mean, we went to a wedding that was down in Kansas for my sister-in-law, and she got married, and it was a great experience. And we talked to the owners down there about 3 years ago. And that's when Sioux Falls was, 20,000 less people, it seemed like, you know, the growth that were going on, you know. So, we wanted to kind of change our lifestyle and kind of get to the rural environment. And we've got 4 young kids, so it's very important that we have some out-of-town experiences, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And is this full-time for you and your wife then?
Well, my wife, we have 4 kids, and she stays home full-time.
That's full-time, yeah.
Yep. And then we homeschool, too, on top of all that. So that's double full-time. But it's becoming full-time for me, yes. You know, I'm having to make that choice on another business as well, and I'm trying to figure out which one to kind of come and go. So two full-time jobs, yes.
All right. Well, that keeps you busy, but the weddings definitely are keeping you busy. And I believe I saw that you even have a fair amount of bookings for 2022 and even a couple for 2023.
Yeah, so we have one Saturday left from the prime season 2022 between April and November. I got one, maybe two left. And then I've got 2 books booked already in 2023. So we're seeing a lot more Fridays and Sundays, so tons of openings there and such. But Saturdays go first.
All right, since you were talking about the fact that you have so many weddings this year, are there do you have it that it's a Friday night wedding, a Saturday night wedding, a Sunday afternoon wedding?
Yes, we do. Like this past weekend, we had a Thursday night rehearsal. We had a Friday wedding and then a Saturday wedding. So the Friday wedding was 400 people. They got done with the wedding around midnight. We cleaned up. The crew came in until 5:30 a.m. And then 8 o'clock a.m., another wedding came in of 380. So we had 2 large weddings back to back, and it was a blast.
You said two full-time jobs. This sounds like a full-time and time and a half job.
It all depends. It's events are pretty fun, though. So those are, you know.
That's true. It's a better work than every gig.
Yes, it's a happy environment and fun. And, I mean, weddings and special events, I mean, what could you hope for more?
True. Well, and, you know, weddings have progressed so much in terms of what people do. I'm guessing you probably have quite a cataloged list of DJs, photographers, everything else, in case somebody's kind of at a stumbling block saying, well, you know, we want to get married out here, but you know anybody else that can help us out?
Yep. Yeah, we don't have a quote-unquote exclusive list. We're open to pretty much anybody, mm-hmm. but the people that we definitely jive well with and that we work well with and that do a great job, you know, so that's important to our end client.
What has been the most unique situation you've had with a wedding so far?
Well, it seems like, this last Saturday, we had the former Miss South Dakota got married at our facility, and that was a great event and very well thought of, and it just seems like I'd never been to a wedding of 400 people. I've been wedding 150, 200,
right.
400. That's a lot of people. So those have been unique. I have one coming up that's, I forget, they're kind of trying to mix two different cultures into one.
Okay.
So they're going to do an upstairs ceremony. I kind of forget what that one is, but it's a non-U.S. ceremony. And mm-hmm. then they're going outside doing a U.S. ceremony after. So that's going to be kind of interesting to see two different nationalities, two different ethnicities coming together. So that'll be a fun one coming up. I'm excited for that one.
Excellent. What about same day? Have you ever had two on one day?
We do exclusive booking. So we do from 8 o'clock a.m. until midnight.
You've got the whole joint for that time.
The whole joint, yep. So we want the bride and the groom to feel very special. That's important to us.
But you also mentioned the fact you do have a nice outdoor area, too.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So we got a large 60 by 60 patio, and then plus another side patio. It's about 4,000 of hardscape patio with an outdoor bar, which is very important on that as well.
See, you've covered me. I'm here. I'm there.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and then we a lot of our weddings get married outside, large patio and large area, plus the scenery. You really have to come see it. Hills, creek, horses, green grass, because we have a well, so we can water as much as we want, and we do that. We mow often. Yes.
Yeah. When it comes to weddings anymore, it seems like, the bride quite often does have, you know, quite a list of what she wants. Pardon the phrase, but a lot of people say bridezillas. But things go pretty smoothly overall for everybody.
Yeah. I mean, we pride ourselves on staying in our lane. We want to make sure we do the venue, the bar, tables and chairs. Outside that, we're as hands-on or hands-off as you want us to be. So if you need help, we'll help. If you want to kind of do the whole thing, plan it, get a planner, hire a photographer, we can be as involved or not involved as you want us to be. Yes.
When you talk about doing corporate events and entertainment events and so forth, what are you looking for? Or even kind of give us, without spilling the beans, maybe some of the types of things that are on tap?
Yeah, so we're always looking for new stuff, new, fun, different. You know, if it fits in our space, we want to do it. We want to have comedians. We want to have performing arts. We want to have, you know, all types of stuff. We thought about roller dolls. We thought about, anything. I mean, as long as they keep care of the facility and that kind of stuff, we're open. We're having our first annual Sioux Falls Mud Run on July 11th, which is we're across the street from the new Veteran Cemetery as well.
Okay.
So we're going to do that to be an honor run is our plan. So year over year, we're going to try to get more and more soldiers involved, mm-hmm. and they'll be running 3 miles inside the creek bed as the raceway, and they'll end up at our facility. So a big event as well. So we're open. We're excited. We're entrepreneurs, and bring us ideas. We'll probably say yes,
but
do it this way, yes.
No doubt about that. Sounds fantastic. What do you enjoy about it most?
The people. The people is probably the funnest part. Just meeting the people. You know, I was talking to a farmer, 2 days ago from North Dakota. You know, a day prior, talking to a guy from Vermont. You know, you just open up into a whole different type of conversation. You learn a lot. So that's probably been our most fun part of that whole thing. Yes.
So you mentioned that you had a rehearsal on a Thursday night, and then you had a wedding on a Friday and a wedding on a Saturday. And you've had some Sundays.
We've had, right? Some have three in a weekend is not uncommon.
Right. Yes. So you've got that overall, but what about the other days of the week? Are you open to any of those days if somebody has any idea?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's Mondays, too. I mean, to be honest, Christmas Day and maybe one or two other days in the year is days we don't want to do it. Besides that, we're kind of let's bring it on. Let's have some fun. let's do this thing. So if you have ideas on a Tuesday afternoon for a virtual event or something fun, we'd love to have that. Absolutely. Okay.
Different budgets and so forth for everything? Or how do you work things?
Yeah. So weddings, we kind of have packages set up based on the day. And then other corporate nonprofit events, we kind of work with the client to figure out what works well. Because every event's so different. They need more staff. They need less staff. So, you know, right now we say, we're new and we want to be your a venue for the next 5 years. So let's figure out how to get that plan done. Yes.
Excellent. And how many people do you have on staff then?
So we got a full-time maintenance guy. We've got my wife and I that are full or more than full-time. Plus we have lots of bartenders. That's the most of our staffing is the bar world. So, you know, we've got probably 6 to 10 with bussers and cleaners and all that kind of stuff, I would say, range. So relatively low because we have the catering company do their own thing and the photographer do their own thing. So relatively low with the size of our facility, yes.
What's been the average size?
Oh, I would say 250 is probably a good number. You know, Midwest has bigger weddings than
true.
Other. Yes. Because Sally and John and Frank and Bob and, you know, they want to all come.
Well, not only that, but, you know, the attendance. You know,
right.
We have bigger weddings that way. You know, 5-6 people stand up for everybody.
We've seen some that do, you know, some that are over 10 each side.
Oh, my
so,
Lord.
So, yes. Big families. Yes, yes. But, yeah, last year was interesting because the whole Minnesota and the government closing down, it actually kind of helped us a little
benefited
bit.
Benefited you.
It did because we're so close to the border and people wanted to come over and people were having weddings. Weddings weren't slowing down. Yes.
How long did it take you to build it?
So it was 10 months was the building process. Purchased in 2017. Took about 10 months to do all the rezoning process and having all the neighbors decide if they wanted to have me around, not have me around. But it was a learning process, like going to college and shrinking it down into 12 months.
Okay.
Yes.
Are there things that you would like to add yet?
Oh, yeah. I always have ideas. There's always unique, you know, football camps, other types of events, things that we could do different. You know, we have horses on our property. Could we have kids out there for horse camps and all types of experience type things is kind of what I'm always trying to figure out if that's what we want to do. So, yes.
Well, you've got a full slate ahead of you for sure.
Yes.
And I'm happy to hear that you've got so many bookings already for next year.
Yep.
And even a couple of down the road in 2 years. But if somebody wants to book an event, what do they need to do?
Either our phone number, 605-951-0867. You can call or text. And then also our website. Laurel. So Laurel's kind of hard to say and read.
Right.
So LAUREL, then Ridge, RIDGE, barn.com. But yes, I mean, you can always call, text, email us, but our website's always the best way of form of contact.
Well, I appreciate you actually spelling that out. You know, that's, I hear some websites when they're advertised, and it's like, okay, you didn't print what it was, so. Is it with 2 K's, 1 K, an E, an O? All the different names that it could be. So
yeah, Laurel is kind of a tough one, but we wanted to pay homage to the previous owner.
Right.
So
and I like that. That's nice. Have relatives of the previous owners been out?
They all moved to South Carolina last year and stuff. So the Bruce Idy family sold land here, sold land in Minnesota, took everything, went to where his grandkids were in South Carolina, sold his dealership, just replanted, so not that I know of, at least.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people obviously have with the number of weddings that you've had out there. So I'm guessing that a lot of your advertising is good old word of mouth.
Yeah. We were what we call guerrilla marketing at first. You know, we were trying to get out there every way possible, and now we're at the point where we want to take care of our clients, do a great job, and then, you know, going from 35 events to 85 events, that's a big jump. So we're trying to learn a new normal, try to figure out what that takes. what impact it has on our family life. And, you know, my wife and I, it's important because once you have a wedding barn, it's important to stay married. And that's very, you know,
set by example.
Correct. Yes.
I like it. Anywho, so you've got a more ideas as to what to put out there. Ideas beyond that.
Yeah,
another barn.
We have discussed how that would work, how we would staff it, what that impact would be. I think we're open to the idea, and we have some things in the plans, but we're making sure because we're only 1 year old,
right.
So we want to make sure we do this right.
Get a track record
first. Yep, 100%. But
not just chalk it up to being a star freshman and then
right.
get the sophomore
right.
slump.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And with the veteran cemetery across the road, we're starting to see midday asks for events and celebrations and such. So our space with how big it is. We can section that off into smaller spaces
right.
and have smaller events type thing too. So you don't have to worry about, you having this huge place and you only have 30 people.
Right. And the other thing is, when you were talking about you reserve the barn from 8 a.m. to midnight for weddings,
mm-hmm.
but on the off days,
yeah.
you could host more than one event, couldn't you?
By the hour, by the space, by the create, like we're even gonna do by the parking lot. So we've got a paved parking lot. So if somebody wants to have a unique facility, just a parking space to do certain stuff, we're very open to different ideas. So lots of green grass, lots of parking. So yeah, sometimes it's hard to even get together as a, say you got a bunch of buddies that want to get together. Where can you do that? We want to be that space. So, yes.
All right. There's two questions I always ask at the end of entertainers and artists. Now, you're not necessarily that, per se, but you provide the areas for them, and you're obviously quite busy doing that.
Yep.
So, when you're not part of the entertainment world by providing a venue,
mm-hmm.
what do you like to be entertained by?
Well, we got four young kids, so that takes up a ton
right.
of our time. So my wife and I love camping because we can go and kind of be amongst ourselves with a family unit. I run another business too, so it's, got that going on. The entertainment world for me, I don't get out a whole ton.
Right.
But I get out during my events. I can see them while
exactly.
I'm working the
yeah.
event. Yes. Yep. Yeah. So I think my wife is pregnant with her fifth child, so we're excited
You're
for
expanding
that.
That
we're
way,
expanding that way. Yes, yes. That's why I'm what I want to do is to meet more people and get, involved in more different, I never heard of you, Dave, until yeah. recently. Why didn't I hear about you? So this has been a great opportunity to.
Well, we've got plenty of things we're going to chat about afterwards.
Yes. Appreciate that. Yes, yes. Yeah. So, performing arts, different type stuff. We're open. So if you have any ideas, we'd love to hear them.
Give your phone number and your web address once again.
Yep. 605-951-0867. You call or text. And then the website is Laurel Ridge Barn, LaurelRidgeBarn.com. So there you go.
Fantastic. Appreciate your time, Tyler. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and looking forward to getting out there and seeing the facility. The website shows a lot and it's just amazing.
Thank you so much.
So very nicely put together so that people get a great idea what they could be renting and booking and so forth.
Yeah.
Wish you the best down the road as well.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
right.
being here. Thank you.
No problem. And we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
I'm speaking with my Grandpa Dave, but I just call him Dave.
Thanks again. Appreciate all the likes, the shares, everything you do on social media, on Facebook and on Twitter, Instagram. Certainly appreciate it. Also, make sure you check out DaveHolly.com and DaveHollyHour.com if you'd like to find out what else is going on. And, the other thing is, thank you to my great guests. James Dean Acoustic, like we mentioned earlier, he has original material that he has the copyrights to. So here's one from James Dean. James Dean Acoustic, this is Still of the Stars. That's going to do it for me for this week. Thanks for joining. I'm Dave Holly, and remember, for me, every day is a holiday. But make this 4th of July holiday weekend a safe one.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, and Quality Nails. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional link section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.